From our Imams, the ninth Imam is the first, whose Imamat began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali al-Barra.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Ja'far, Muhammad the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the ninth divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Messenger of Allah. And Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was also the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam lived under the wing of his father, the eighth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, for a relatively short period that was not more than 7 years. However, at this young and tender age, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam displayed intelligence and talents that truly astonished the minds of great thinkers. And like his father, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam had been impressed with the greatest of virtues and the highest of morals, the most profound of knowledge and wisdom, and his eternal values became as torches of guidance and awakening in the whole of the Islamic society.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are humbly at your service talking about the dialogues of the ninth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. The ninth divinely appointed Imam, of course, lived in an era in which the ethical and moral values of the Muslims had really begun to go downhill. Now, this ethical and moral decline of the Muslims can be attributed to the fact that they began to go farther away from the pivot and the axis of Islam. This axis of Islam, of course, being the divinely appointed Imams. So throughout the eras when the divinely appointed Imams were cast aside, they were not given the due position and the due authority that they deserved, well, then people started to go towards non-access individuals and they started to take the religion from them. Now, of course, when you start to take the religion from individuals that are non-access, that are non-pivotal, that are not the pillars of Islam, such as, of course, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and the divinely appointed Imams, then you start to find that the Muslims began to decline when it came to a whole variety of things, but most importantly, the ethical and moral virtues that had been taught by Islam and the Quran and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So in one such dialogue, of course, you know, in an era where ethical and moral decline is occurring, the divinely appointed Imam has to, you know, revive and bring back to life this ethical and moral value system of Islam. We find that the different imams did similar things in their eras. So, for example, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he brought back and revived Islam via the du'as and these different supplications that we find that the imam did. In this situation, similarly, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he emphasized the ethical and moral system of Islam. And so in an era and in a time where honor was given to people based upon wealth, based upon social status, based upon power, you know, based upon the things that they owned or how many slaves or servants that they had or how big of a house that, you know, they lived in or a palace, when it came to the Abbasid Khulafa and the caliphs of the Abbasid, these things were considered to be honorable, which of course was something that was very, very far and removed from the original teachings of the Quran and the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. And so here, in a conversation where the people were talking about honor and what true honor is and who is honorable, we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he says that an honorable person who has all honor is one whose knowledge honors him. And so here, a very beautiful, you know, description of what honor is, who an honorable person is, in the words of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam in this dialogue, that listen, money and wealth and power and fame and fortune, you know, the size of your house or the number of your cars, you know, or your bank account or your social status or your, you know, these things do not bring about true honor to an individual. Sure, they might bring material, worldly honor, which in reality is of no value when you look at the hereafter and you look at the Almighty Allah and these kind of aspects of the universe. Here, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam in this dialogue is saying to the companions and to the people, listen, honor comes about with knowledge, and it is that knowledge that an individual has which brings them honor. Now, of course, the greatest of all knowledge is the ma'rifah and the knowledge and the awareness and, you know, knowing the Almighty Allah. The more you know the Almighty Allah, the more that knowledge helps you to become a good servant and a good abid, a good worshiper, a good, you know, obedient servant of the Almighty Allah. And then you begin to follow the laws and the commandments of the Almighty Allah, of course, which have been sent to us and given to us via the Holy Quran and the Messenger of Allah and the divinely appointed imams. And of course, case in point, the ninth divinely appointed imam, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, who explains to us in this beautiful conversation and dialogue what true honor is and who a real honorable person is. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam.
And now we invite you to listen to Shaykh Winay Keita about Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam.
Imam al-Jawad salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi is an interesting case study for many, many different subjects. The imam is appointed as the imam even before the death of Imam Rida, of course. However, we're told that there was a problem that arose. The problem revolved around his mother. His mother was Khuzayran, or there are different names for her, right? Or Subayka. She was from the descendants of Maria Koptiya, al-Koptiya, okay? From Sudan, somewhere along the northeast African coast. The reason this became a problem is because naturally, if an African woman was to marry a Mediterranean man, the child that would result will be of a dark complexion. This was an issue, such that Allama Majlisi, you know, explains to us in Bihar and other places that Ibn Abi Du'ad, one of the jurists of the Abbasid Empire, used to joke about Imam al-Jawad by saying, "Hadha al-Aswad Abi Ja'far ibn Ali." that instead of saying that this is the Imam, he says this is the black boy or the black Abi Ja'far. That they used to mock him and try to humiliate him in the court of the Abbasiyya, the Abbasid Empire. Because his mother was of Sudanese background, somewhere around the region of Sudan, north of Kenya, from this region. In fact, many of the wives of the Imams and the mothers of the Imams are from this region, thus leaving many of the Imams to be of dark complexion, or shall we say black complexion. So historians tell us that this may have been used as a pretext to doubt the imamate of the ninth Imam, salamullahi alayhi. And we see in the riwayat, in Al-Kafi, in the Manaqib of Ibn Shahrashub, in the Dalail of Ibn Rustum, in the Nawadir al-Mu'jizat of Ibn Rustum, and in many other sources, that this was the case. So we don't really need a Black History Month to remember the oppression or the bias or bigotry or hatred shown towards people who look different than, let's say, the majority of the population.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.